Welcome to a series of audio interviews direct from the Verbier Festival in Switzerland, the 2.5-week celebration of music which takes place up in the beautiful Swiss Alps, is now in its 21st year and attracts the creme de la creme of classical musicians, from pianist Evgeny Kissin and soprano Barbara Fritterly to cellist Misha Maisky, violinist Joshua Bell and conductor Daniel Harding. So it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to talk to some of them while they were here all in one place. I'm Oliver Condy, the editor of BBC Music Magazine, and in a sixth of our interviews from this year's Verbier Festival, I talked to virtuoso Russian pianist Evgeny Kissin about performing Jewish piano music by Ernest Bloch and Alexandra Krein at the festival. I discussed with him his approach to the rigours of touring the world, as well as what he enjoys spending his time doing when not at the piano stool.
So, Mr. Kissin, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about your choice of programme last night. We had music by Ernest Bloch, by a composer I didn't know before, The Crying as well.
And, yes.
And also we had music by Weinberg and more Bloch in the second half. How did you compile this programme? Because it was your inspiration, wasn't it?
No, I did not compile the whole programme. I only suggested to Martin Engström my part of it.
Right.
He chose the rest.
He chose the rest, but you chose the Bloch and the Krein.
Yes.
Perhaps you can tell me a little bit about those pieces.
This is a question for musicologists.
That's true.
I'm not a musicologist, I'm a performer. I don't remember exactly how that idea came about. I think, and I'm pretty sure I remember this correctly, Martin wanted me to give two performances. So I just said to him what I could do, which repertoire I would have in my hands at this time.
Had you played those pieces before?
A few months ago, I gave a very special performance. I mean, not that my performance was very special, but the whole idea was special. For the first time in my life, in Washington, D.C., at the Kennedy Center, they have a series of classical Jewish music called Prohebraica, organized by the famous American politologist Charles Krauthammer and his wife. They asked me to take part in their series a few years ago. I started thinking about possible repertoire. I wanted other musicians to take part, but unfortunately, it didn't work for any of my colleagues, and I didn't have enough repertoire of classical Jewish music for an entire evening. So what I did was alternating playing music with recitations of Yiddish poetry. I played these two works by Bloch and Krein, as well as a couple of other works. The second sonata by Alexander Veprik, which is full of Jewish motifs, as well as a shorter piece by Moshe Milner called Before Parting. I did that, as I just said, a few months ago. And the audience clearly liked it.
Yes. Well, they're very immediate works, aren't they? They're very poignant. There's something.
Yes.
There's something.
I had probably more good reviews than for any other concerts in my life.
Is that true?
Oh yes.
Why do you think that is?
About five of them.
Why
I don't know.
Do you think the music? I mean, you clearly have a connection with this music because it seems.
So I told Martin that I would have this repertoire in my hands. It wouldn't be enough for a whole concert, so Martin chose the rest.
Chose the rest, I see. But the Jewish music with the chanting in it is very powerful because you know, any music that uses, for example, folk music or
religious
chanting has a certain connection, I think, to people's inner spirit, don't you think? There's a real.
I was surprised, honestly, by Martin's choice of Weinberg's Quintet because it is not Jewish music.
No,
but that's up to him.
What keeps you coming back to Verbier every year? Because it is a very special place to perform.
Yes, because I love it here, not just to perform, but to be here. The freshest air I have ever breathed in my life. I believe this is what attracts so many musicians to this place, musicians who keep coming every year. Misha Majski, Thomas Kvasthoff used to come, I think, every year until he stopped singing. And I think even this year he is here for master classes. Martin has just told me that James Levine would come back next year.
Oh,
he has not been performing for several years due to health problems, but before that he came here on several occasions.
Mm.
The possibility to stay here, not in hotels, but in private apartments or chalets, and to stay with families, to spend 2 weeks here, to combine work with rest.
Which is important, isn't it? When you combine
Absolutely.
Music with rest, of course, you're on the road a lot, in the air, at hotels, and I think it's wonderful, I suppose you can tell me a bit more about this, when you're in a different frame of mind and you're performing in an environment like this.
I remember in the second year of this festival, they published an article in one major British newspaper, don't remember which one, maybe it was the Times, but I'm not 100% sure, in which they quoted Martin Engström saying about musicians, the participants of the festival, I struck a chord which met their needs. And he was right. And since so many musicians are attracted to this festival, that in turn creates a special atmosphere for all of us.
And it's very different to performing in concerts.
More intimate
in London
atmosphere.
And Paris and, yes.
A more relaxed one.
Does that make you play differently?
In a way, even a more family-like one. All right, maybe I'll read. Does it make me play differently? I have come to the conclusion that everything that's happening in our lives influences our playing. Even though, in most cases, we are not realizing what's influencing us and in which way. I can say that, for instance, when someone like Marta Argerich, who has also been a regular in this festival, when Marta Argerich is in the audience, it makes me feel very well. It gives me a wonderful feeling because, on the one hand, she's a great musician whose art is very close to my heart. On the other hand, she's a truly wonderful, sincere person who I know is a genuine well-wisher. So when she is in the audience at my concerts, it both inspires me and at the same time, in a way, relaxes me.
Right. I suppose there aren't many places in the world where you can expect Martha Argerich to be...
No, of course not.
...in the audience, really.
Although she... It so happened that she, I think, once came to my concert at Carnegie Hall in New York. We happened to be there at the same time, and I was very happy about it.
Find the constant touring at the moment? Do you still enjoy the touring around the
Yes, very much, but I always keep it civilized, as they say in England.
How so?
At each of my performance, I give away a lot. In fact, I give away everything I have, and it takes me time to recover emotionally. That's why I find myself, and have always found myself, unable to play solo recitals with less than 2 days in between. I tried that twice, and both times it simply did not work.
Right. And those two...
At the second recitals, I didn't play well enough. So there is a contradiction for me. On the one hand, I love giving concerts, playing for other people, I always have since childhood, since when I started performing. On the other hand, I cannot do it too frequently.
Mm.
So as a result, I do between 40 and 50 concerts per year.
Mm. That's still quite a schedule, because if there are days between these concerts, you are still moving around quite a lot. Are you able to be at home as much as you'd like? Where for you is home?
But the thing is, I'm unable to do anything as much as I'd like.
Right.
Playing concerts, being at home, reading, whatever. I can only regret that we only have 25 hours in a day and 365 days in a year. And that we cannot live 200 or 300 years, at least.
Which do you prefer? The concerto performing?
Oh, solo. Definitely.
You prefer the solo?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Although there is lots of wonderful repertoire for piano and orchestra, as well as chamber music with piano participating. And here in Verbier, I've done more chamber music than anywhere else, due to the fact that so many wonderful musicians are attracted to this place, so we can stay here long, get together, work on chamber music repertoire.
But
clearly I prefer playing solo for two very simple and clear reasons. First, I simply get to play more. And second, everything depends on me. Only everything is in my own hands. When I play with orchestra or chamber music, I sometimes find myself feeling jealous that other people, not me, are playing this or that wonderful passage.
Right. Yes, of course. And are you constantly evolving your repertoire? I mean, you're constantly learning new works. What is the turnaround of the programs that you play around the world when you're playing each?
I usually change my programs each season.
Each season, which makes it quite keeps the variety going. But do you play much contemporary music?
No.
Why not?
Well, contemporary music, first of all, I think present-day composers do not tend to write for piano that much. Otherwise, I don't have any prejudice toward any styles. I always try to expand my repertoire in all possible directions. So there is lots of music I simply didn't get to play yet, like the French Impressionist, many other works.
Is that an area you're working on at the moment, then, the French Impressionist?
Not at the moment, but I'd love to play sometime in the future.
Mm. I'd also love to see you more in the recording studio. Are you going to be recording more?
That's a special subject. Although, to be precise, I prefer doing live recordings than studio ones. Works better for me. When I have other people listening to me, somehow inspires me more. In the recording studio, I often found that no matter how hard I was trying to persuade myself that although I was in those moments surrounded only by four walls and microphones, what I was playing would be heard by hundreds, thousands of people, still, it was often hard for me to get the feeling of a momentary creation. Well, as we know, in the last 10 or so years, there has been lots of upheaval in the recording industry, so I just didn't know who to record for.
Mm.
But many of my concerts are being recorded either for the radio or just by the respective concert halls for their archives.
Mm.
So during the last, 9 years, I've been keeping all those recordings, waiting until a good label are interested to release them.
Mm.
To give you one example, I think 6 years ago, I was supposed to do a live recording of both Brahms concertos for EMI, who I was working with at that time, in Boston, with the Boston Symphony and James Levine. We gave four concerts, playing each of the Brahms concertos twice.
Mm-hmm.
But only a few weeks prior to that, EMI people told me that the recording would not take place because when they had originally planned it, they had not realized how expensive, that American orchestras were more expensive than European ones. So, the concerts went really well. Believe me, I seldom say that about my own concerts, but those went really well. Everybody was very happy. Levine, the orchestra, the audience, everybody. And they were recorded by the Boston radio. So I said to EMI people afterwards, buy them from the radio station. It will be much less expensive for you. They thought for several months and said, no, unfortunately, this is still too expensive for us. So the recording is there. Everyone is very happy, but it's not been released.
Which is frustrating.
Yes.
It's frustrating.
I'd love it to be released because I'm happy with it. I think those were probably my... Because I have played those concertos for many times in the course of many years. And I think that those were probably my best performances of those works. That was the best I could do with those pieces.
And finally, I just wanted to ask you, what do you do when you're between concerts to relax? Do you have other hobbies that you do?
Hobbies, well, the only thing which I could call a hobby is reciting. Maybe you know that I have done a few public recitations of poetry in my life. A couple of them here in Verbier. In fact, it was here that I did it for the first time. But also when I'm on my own, when I'm on tour and have like 1 hour off in my hotel room, or when I'm in the shower, it relaxes me somehow. I like reciting for myself, not necessarily poetry, but even prose or articles. Otherwise, what I like to do when I have some spare time, most of all, spending time with other people, with friends, or just with people whom I may not necessarily have the right to call friends, but who I find interesting. And reading.
Evgeny Kissin, thank you so much for talking to me.